my OC, that through this journey, you've been able to understand that spiritual warfare is not just about praying. It's not just about fasting for 3 days. Spiritual warfare is not just about binding and losing. Spiritual warfare has many aspects to it. Amen? It's just like if you were driving. It's not just enough to know how to drive. Yeah? You also need to have a car in order. You also need fuel in your car. You know? And if you're trying to learn to drive, it's not just knowing how to press the accelerator. You also need to know how to control the steering. You also need to know how to use the mirrors. Yeah? And you also need to know, in fact, nowadays, when you have a theory test, it's not just theory test, you have hazard perception. How to anticipate problems. Yeah? How to brake safely. So all this, the things you need to know to drive a car is not one thing. So also, the things you need to know to be effective in spiritual warfare is not one thing. The reason why we miss it most times, yeah, in facing and having victory over the devil and in life, is that we just focus on few things. We refuse to learn. And when you don't learn, you are not equipped. So you just go off with that one thing you know, and you expect it to give you results. Then you don't see any result. That's what the Bible says in Timothy, 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 2. It says, study to show yourself approved. A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That study means learn. Be open to what? Learning. Yeah? Open your heart to learning. Then you will understand. Then you'll be more effective. Yeah? In having victory over anything that life throws at you. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 14 to 18. Ephesians 6. We're looking at verse 14 to 18. So today we will just continue where we left it last week. We'll do a revision. And then we'll finish that message on how to get the rhema of God. Ephesians 6. Verse 14 to 18. Okay, who would like to read that for me today? Ephesians 6, 14 to 18. Someone who has not said anything today. Yes, sister. Ephesians 6, 14 to 18. Please follow in your Bible.
Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, I would like someone else to read for me just verse 17. Ephesians 6:17 from a different version. Ephesians 6:17. Yes? Verse 17. Yes? Brother? Ephesians 6:17. Please listen. I'm following the Bible.
Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation.
And take the helmet of salvation.
And the sword of the Spirit.
And the sword of what? The Spirit. Which is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Please be seated. God bless you. So, last week, we had... help me that. Help me. Can you just help me project that again? I've gone past. Just project it where you have that. Yes. So last week we did a revision, and actually now we are just on that last weapon. But later on we'll look at prayer, though it's not a weapon. And does it surprise you that prayer is not listed as a weapon here? So we'll explain the role of prayer in the next message. Okay. So we were looking at the last weapon there, which is the sword of what? Of the Spirit. And can anybody remind me what is the function of the sword? The most important function of the sword. The best person who can give me an answer is someone who was here last week. You know, this is a revision. What does the sword do for you that no other weapon can do? We said this last week. Anybody here last week first? You were here last week in the message. We established that a sword can do for you something that no other weapon can do. What is that the sword can do? Don't tell me you've forgotten. Yes, that's why you need to meditate. Go on. It's for advancement. Any other thing you tell me now, I can show you. Maybe some other, someone say, oh, the sword is for defense. The shield, actually, all your other weapons are for what? Defense. Oh, the sword is for fighting. As we said, the sword is not for fighting the devil. You are not to fight the devil. You are to resist what? The devil. And the Bible says that when you resist him, he will what? Fear. When you, we established that if you want to engage in the sword fight with the devil, you will get injured. Amen? Because as you can see from that weapon, you are not even fully covered everywhere. Yeah? A sword fight will injure you because it's the false ground in which to engage spiritual warfare. The sword is for advancing. Because through your sword, your enemy will shift ground. Amen? Because of your sword, your enemy will what? Shift ground. If you don't have a sword, no matter the weapons you have, you are just defending your position. Okay? Every other weapon you have helps you to withstand the devil. You can keep your position. Amen? I was healthy. Satan attacked me with sickness. With all my defensive weapons, I can what? Resist him and keep my health. I don't need a sword to do that. Amen? And we explained last week also that when you say it is written, yeah? Anytime you say it is written against the devil, you are holding up your shield of faith. You are maintaining your position. You are withstanding the devil. However, that is not the end of God's plans for your life. Because God wants you to advance. Say, God does not want me to remain the same. You'll be fine. In Jesus' name. God does not want me to remain the same. He doesn't want me to just continue to be the same person I was. Yeah? And many times that's what we are trying to defend. You're somewhere you're happy with yourself. Well, I'm not okay. I'm not perfect, but I'm okay here. And you're only concerned about fighting off anything that wants to move you back. But God wants to move your life forward. Hallelujah. In every aspect. In every aspect. God wants to move your life where? Forward. Spiritually, physically, financially, maritally. Wherever you are today, God has something greater. So has something better. Hallelujah. Even in your ministry, whatever you're doing today, including myself, there are greater things that God wants me to do. I cannot just stay and say, yeah, I'm serving God. No, not with God. Hallelujah. There's something bigger, something better, something greater. Somebody said the enemy of best is what? Good. You know, you may think the enemy of, you know, am I right? You may think the enemy of best is worst. No, it's good. Because when you are good, you will not reach out for what? For something better. Hallelujah. So you say, God has greater things in stock for my life. And I need this sword to advance into them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So last week we said, so what is the spiritual sword of a believer? Again, this question goes to those who were in the sermon last week. The spiritual sword. The sword is for advancement. What is the spiritual sword of a believer? Just a revision. So let's have grammar. So what we said last week? The word of God. Yes, that's agreed. Yes. Do you have anything more?
The spirit.
The spirit. Yes. The spiritual sword of a believer is the spirit, which is the word. So the first thing I just did last week because I felt that in order to remove a wrong understanding, you better to throw a bomb. Yeah, not a physical bomb. Okay, so when I said yes last week that the sword is the spirit, my goal was to throw a bomb against a false impression. You know that the sword is the Bible. Now the Bible is the word of God. Don't misunderstand me. Yeah? But it depends. When you use the Bible based on what is written, yeah, to in spiritual warfare, it's a shield. Because you use it to defend your position. That is the written word of God. Yeah? But if you want to advance, you need that written word to be brought to life by the Spirit of God into a spoken word to you. Amen? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, gives you an instruction or a direction, yes, that is advancement. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, where to go, how to go, what not to do, is an instruction that carries power for advancement. Hallelujah. Whereas the Bible as it's written, yeah, is the general revelation of God. It helps you to withstand the devil. That's why Jesus, when the devil came, he said, well, it is written. He withstood him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So by saying the sword is the spirit, we're telling you that you need the spirit of God if you want to advance in life. Because he is the one that will bring you the rhema. Because as Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the spirit, which is the rhema of God. Rhema is a Greek word. There are two words used for the word of God in Greek. And I said it's not just word of God, any word. There's the logos and there's the rhema. The logos, consider what has been revealed before. Amen? The logos, you know, for example, if I said many things in my life, and somebody write a book, like an auto, a biography of Pastor Ben, and all the things he said, yeah, they are my logos. What I've revealed before. What has been revealed about me. What reveals my nature, my character, who I am. Through my logos, you can understand me. If you read about my logos, yeah, all the things I've said ever in my life, you can understand the type of person I am. Amen? But the rhema is what I am saying now. Hallelujah? The rhema is what I'm saying what? Now. It's my active, direct, spoken word. Now. So no matter how much you know my logos, you still need to know my rhema. In the now. You understand? It's like my wife says, what would you like to eat today? And you can be sure that the answer will not be spaghetti. Hallelujah. Maybe I ate spaghetti in the past. But today I may not feel like eating spaghetti. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I may feel like eating. I may feel like eating meat pie. Hallelujah. Yeah? And I also always say that, you know, you go on the logos if you don't have the rhema. But when you have the rhema, you move on the rhema. Rhema is the one for the now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just want to say it again in a different way this week. So just in case you were confused last week, to say that the sword is the rhema of God. The spoken word. What God is saying now. But that rhema only comes by the Spirit. Amen? You cannot get the rhema of God, which is the spoken word of God, by your brain. You can't get the rhema by just reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, and you think you have rhema. No, it's what you have logos. You can have a revelation of the logos, but if you want rhema, it comes from the Spirit. Amen? So the sword is the rhema of God, which comes by the Spirit. Amen? Now let me just clarify your mind, and we'll go to 1 Corinthians 2 now. When God speaks, he speaks Spirit. If God is speaking now, yeah? What comes out is words and Spirit. He said the Spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you, what are they? They are spirit and they are life. Another way to say that, they come from the spirit and they carry life. The rhema, which is the spoken word of God to you now, comes from the spirit and it carries what? Life. It carries something to demolish and advance, to demolish the works of the devil in your life and advance you beyond maintaining your former position. Are you with me? Yeah? You withstand, when you are withstanding the devil with the other weapons, you are maintaining your former position. Yeah? Maybe I was earning £1,000 monthly. And now something happened and my salary wants to decrease to 500. I need the logos. Yeah? To resist and withstand. Because £500 is like moving back. Are you with me? But maybe £1,000 was enough to meet my need. But then the Holy Spirit gives me an instruction or a revelation that will advance me now from any £1,000 to £1,500. He may tell me that you give something extra. Amen? Now, when you hear that, you're like, it doesn't make sense. It's like I'm going down. But when you follow, you will move forward. Hallelujah? The sword is the rhema of God. Say, the sword is the rhema, the spoken word of God. Okay, let me just do a quick revision on that so you understand clearly. See, logos, and I say logos is what God has revealed before. Amen? So, for example, if God gives me a rhema today, and I come out in testimony, and I give you a testimony, I say, God said I should do this, and this was the result. For me, it was a rhema. For you hearing it, is a logos. Because that word was for me, but in hearing it, you're understanding the nature and character of God, that, oh, God can operate like this. Amen? So you find that the nature of rhema is that it has to come alive to you personally. God's spoken word to you, before it really becomes a rhema to you, it comes to you. It comes alive in you. You know that God is speaking to you. Amen? Like you're listening to a message. Something is said, everybody has even missed it, but in your heart, it's ringing a bell. Yeah, God is speaking to what? To you. That's your rhema. Hallelujah. Rhema is personal. Logos is general. Are you with me? Anybody can access the logos of God, which is the written word of God. Anybody can believe it. Anybody can get a miracle through it. But the rhema of God is personal. Hallelujah. It's personal to you. Someone may come out here and I'll give you a prophesying to the church. But not everybody, they will hear with their ears, but not everybody hears with their heart. Yeah? But that word comes to you and say, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Sometimes you are praying to God for something. You come to church or you listen to a message and they say something and it's like the answer to your prayer. It's a rhema. Hallelujah. The Spirit activates the word of God in you. Now, when the Spirit does that activation has power. If you follow through on it, you will see a miracle. If you follow through on what the Holy Spirit is telling you personally, you will see what? A miracle. That's a major key to miracles. And I feel in my spirit that many times we are missing miracles because we're not following what the Spirit is telling us. You despise it. You think, oh, until a big man of God prays for me. He will just tell you, and the Holy Spirit is very simple. Just say, go to this place. Or, you know, stop doing that particular thing. Or, you know, do this extra. And that's your key to miracle. If you obey it, you see a miracle. If you don't, no miracle. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 5. I want to show you an example of Rhema. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1 to 6. Just show you one example of the sword of the Spirit. And how it was. Now remember I told you, if God speaks directly to somebody, it's Rhema. Because God speaks by His Spirit. If Jesus speaks directly to somebody and gives them an instruction, it's what? It's Rhema. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. And the Holy Spirit speaks in your heart, is what? Is what? Rhema. Okay? John 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Please read.
One day, Jesus was standing on the shore of the lake Genesaret while people pushed their way up to him to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing the nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, it belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, push your boat out further to the deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon answered, we worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I will let my net down.
Let's continue. That's now verse 6.
They let them down and caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you read that story, you just look, okay, just did something and you did a miracle. But it's much more than that. Okay? What he's saying that, look, Simon and James and John, they're fishermen. And I think that was the first time Jesus had a contact with them. He borrowed their boat, you know, to preach. Yeah? But I want to tell you something. Before Jesus borrowed their boat, they had fished all night. And they caught what? They caught what? These were experienced fishermen. So there's a scientific explanation. The fishes had gone to sleep at the bottom of the sea. Now, these guys understood. They were professional fishermen. They knew. As at that point, they knew that tonight is no what? No fish. Are you with me? And then Jesus borrowed their boat to preach. Because there were many people he wanted to move aside and preach. I want to explain something to you. God never owes anybody anything. Let me tell you, Even when you give to God, when you pay your tithe and you give your offerings to God, it's not like you are doing God a favor. You are opening an opportunity for God to do something special in your life. God doesn't owe because all you have, He gave you. You know, on fellowship on Friday, we're talking about mercy. And I was trying to explain mercy, you know, that, you know, God's mercy is His prerogative. And after that meeting, I was feeling a bit that, you know, maybe I've not explained enough. Like, the way I explain it, looks like maybe God will just have mercy on one person out of 10 people. Yeah? But I want you to understand that 90% of your life already is mercy. The fact that you can sleep and wake up is what? Mercy. Hallelujah. The fact that you take all the risk you take. You know, the people who lived like 3,000 years ago, if they saw in their dreams the way we drive now, I'm just talking about the speed. You know, these guys, you know, most of them move by foot or donkey or us. Are you with me? But now, you know, before you know it, Sister Ivy has zoomed to Reading or wherever I'm back. You know, and some other people here. Okay, let me not mention names. Yeah. You know, what's about driving that it doesn't show, the way people drive, it does not show on their face. It's only when they go behind the steering. You can't judge them. You may see someone very gentle in his suited up with waistcoat. You think, okay, they are gentlemen. Hallelujah. If they saw us the way we live now on this fast frequency, they were like, wow, this is dangerous. Are you with me? And it's mercy. Everything that works in life is what? Mercy. The other day I was looking at the anatomy of the belly, of the what? Abdomen. Thank you. Thank you, my doctor. Looking at the anatomy of the abdomen. Yeah? I'm not saying you should do it. Maybe you should. Because sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. The way all those organs are just packed over each other. Physically, they shouldn't work. I mean, like, you know, they're so tightly packed. How do things move? It's messy. Amen. Say, I am already in reception of God's mercy. Hallelujah. But you see, beyond mercy, yeah? When the greatest thing God wants to do in your life, mercy is available to everybody. But the greatest thing that God wants to do in your life is not a product of mercy. It's a product of grace. Let me explain that. Now, mercy is part of grace, but mercy is the gate, is the entry point into grace. Mercy is the minimum thing grace can do for you. Mercy is what? The minimum thing grace can do for you. There are principles that God has revealed in His word. Through faith, you can access grace. Through what? Faith. You can access. It's not you, don't worry. Through faith, you can access what? Grace. You can enter uncommon miracle. That is not a product of mercy. You see, the way we practice grace is called spiritual gambling. Yeah? You leave everything that God has told you to do. Then you go on your knees and say, Father, have mercy. You are a gambler. Because you didn't follow through on what He told you to do. What He told you to do is the principle that will release you into uncommon miracle. Are you with me? Mercy is for everybody. But only few people will take hold of grace through faith. Then they will see miracle. For example, let me give an example. Divine health is a miracle. Yeah? You don't have to live your life going to hospital every week. See what I'm trying to say? Yeah? I know the doctors are there. The NHS is there. But you don't have to. Yeah? You don't have to. You don't have to live your life until there's a serious emergency and you're praying to God for mercy to healing. That's not the way God designed to heal you. Are you with me? He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Proverbs 4. Do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, why? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's grace. Hallelujah. And you access grace through what? Faith. And it belongs to you. You don't need to beg for it. It's been provided for. The only problem why you're not getting is that you're not following through on the process. Are you with me? Say, I have access to mercy. But much more, I have access to grace through faith. Amen. You know, if I stop there, I'll tell you something. Hallelujah. If I told you I've taught you something, I'm happy. So you have to understand that sometimes the reason why you are living in defeat is that you chose to be spiritually lazy. Amen? It's lazy. Life works by rules. I told you, if you refuse to cook your food, it will not be cooked. No matter the grace you have, and no matter the faith you have, don't put fuel in your car and drive it around for a week on empty gas. And when it's not working, tell God that he's not merciful. That's what we do spiritually. Are you with me? The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, we move on. So, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We want to see how the Holy Spirit... before then, Luke 5, I didn't explain it. So, I was saying that when you lend something to God, yeah, when he returns it, you know, some people that you... This doesn't happen in this country. Thank God for the law of insurance. You know, laws are good. You know, no society will work without laws. Did you realize that? No society will work without what? No, there will be disorder and chaos. Criminals will reign. So one of the laws of this country is you cannot drive without what? Insurance. Because if that law was not there, many people would be driving without what? And that's what we do spiritually too. So, usually it's unlikely that someone will come and borrow your car, you know, just for the weekend. Like, you're my friend, can I just borrow your car? I've never had anybody ask me like that. It's good. Amen. Because in the other side of the world, they will borrow your car, full tank. Are you with me? You take it out, rock it like as if it's not a car, slam it, break it anyhow, and you know the worst thing, they will return it back with almost empty tank. Are you with me? But God does not do like that. When God borrows your resource, he will return it back in a better state. Amen? He will add to it. He will what? Add beauty and glory. Yeah? In time past, some of you in this church, you have made some sacrifice for God. You have given to God. The one thing about giving is that you don't get returns when you are sowing a seed, even physically. Physically, you put a seed in the ground. That process is called burial. Hello? Brother George, the process, because I know you do farming, maybe not now, but it will come back later, yeah? It will come back later. So when you put that seed into the soil, you know that process is called what? Burial. You bury it. It looks like you lost it, yeah? But then, over time, what? It grows. And it gives you much more than you put in. Amen? The same way. When you give to the Lord, yeah? It's like you have released that. It's like you borrowed. God doesn't owe you. God doesn't even need your money. He gave you the money. Are you with me? What God needs is your love and your faith and your hope. Say, God doesn't need my money. What he needs is my faith. Hallelujah. Now, in that faith, you will release the money. He said, I trust God. People say, I trust God. You know, I really trust God that he will come through for me. But you trust him so much, you will not release what? The money. Hallelujah. But then when you released it, it looked like you lost it. You only lent to the Lord. It could be 6 months later. It could be 2 years later. Something you've been trusting God for, that nothing has solved, it will just come true for you. Because God does not owe anybody what? Anything. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you also here, if you have been here, you've given to the Lord, you know, your money, from your time, from your resources, you made sacrifice over time before. It looks right now as though nothing is coming through. Remember that God does not owe anybody what? Anything. He said, even the person that gives a cup of water in my name, even what? A cup of what? Water. We not go without their reward. So I want you to persevere. Because God is watching over what you've given. In due season, yeah? It will come back. You will come back with rejoicing. Say, I will come back with rejoicing. Amen. So Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus finished, he said, look, now I finished this kingdom business. Take your net and cast it I think he said on the other side. Am I right? And the fishes came. Peter said, Lord, I have all night struggled, caught nothing. But at your word, that word is rhema in Greek. Because it's an instruction. He said, at your rhema, I will cast it. You see, scientifically, in his brain, Peter had every reason not to waste the time anymore. Maybe even they've passed the time of the night that fishes can be caught. So I've told you, I caught nothing, but at your rhema. That's what I'm saying, that when God gives you a spoken word in your heart, it has power to create a miracle that was impossible a second ago. He said, but at your rhema, I will what? I will put it in. Thank God he did. He could have decided I won't. I've struggled all night, I caught nothing. We've passed the season of catching fish. I'm sorry, Lord. It's bad enough that you took my boat. I'm not doing it. Now, if he didn't do it, will he get a miracle? No. The sword is the rhema of God. And we need to know how to get that rhema. And we also need to know how to obey the rhema. Then you'll be living in an atmosphere of what? Of miracle. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay. Let me just show you one more place. Then we now move into how to get rhema. Because that's how I need to finish the message today. How do you get rhema? The spoken word of God to you. I revise it again. Logos is God's general word to all persons at all times for all purposes. And a good representative of the Logos of God is the Bible. It's the written word of God. This is God's general revelation of himself to all persons at all times and for all purposes. Amen? Say thank God for the Logos. You need the Logos. Without the Logos, you cannot withstand the devil. Amen? Now, Rhema is the specific, someone say specific. It's a specific word of God to a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose. So, for example, when Jesus told Peter, put your net now, it was a rhema to him. And then that gave him a miracle. When the prophet Elisha told Naaman, he said, go and wash in the river Jordan. It's a rhema. He might have washed in Jordan or all the best rivers in Syria before, nothing. But this time around, the rhema will produce the result. Because no rhema of God is without power. No rhema of God is void of power. Amen? When Jesus told Peter, he said, come to walk on that water. It was a rhema to what? Peter. I said last week, I said, if you like, go and jump on the water, you won't walk there until you get the rhema. And usually a rhema will have a purpose. Are you with me? A rhema always has what? A purpose that we advance the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. I just want to show you how the Holy Spirit works in us to give us the spoken word, which is rhema. How the Holy Spirit works. And that's why it's so important that you have a working relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in miracles, it's not enough just to read your Bible. There's something you need to, a process you need to go through that will help you get the spoken word of God in your heart that will cause you to advance in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, somebody read for me verse 9 to 14. Okay? Who would like to read? I'll give you a mic. Someone who has not read today. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 14. You've not read today? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 14. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 14.
It is written, if I be not an apostle in
truth. No, 1 Corinthians.
Oh, first.
Chapter 2. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 14. Yes? The sword is the Spirit. And the Spirit is the rhema of God. Another way to say is that the sword is the rhema of God, which comes by the Spirit. Yeah, continue.
But as it is written, I had not seen.
Eyes have not seen.
Not hear heard.
Ears have not heard.
neither have entered into the heart.
Even the heart of man has not conceived. Are you thinking of advancement now? Yes?
The thing which God has prepared
the
for them.
The thing that God has prepared for you.
That love them. That love him.
Hallelujah. Continue.
But God has revealed them into us by Spirit.
That's Rhema.
For the Spirit.
There are things that, sorry sister. There are things that God has prepared for you in this world. He wants you to enter into it. Amen. But he will reveal them to you by the Holy Spirit. He will speak to your heart. Amen. He will give you an instruction or a direction. Please continue. For the Spirit.
For the Spirit searches all things.
The Spirit is searching all things. But all things, can I just put there? Spiritual. He's searching all things. What do you say he's searching all things? He's talking about the mind of God. Continue.
Ye the deep things of God.
The deep things of God. Continue.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
Continue.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. So the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of God.
Okay. All right. Let's just stop there. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll fix that. It's okay, don't change anything. We'll fix it. So what I'm trying to show you here is that the Spirit of God is the one who knows the mind of God. Anytime God speaks to you, he's speaking by his Spirit. Yeah? Jesus living in you today is by his Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus lives in you. So, for you to advance in any aspect of your life, yeah? The Logos will give you the understanding. It will prepare your heart. It will help you withstand and resist the devil. But the specific instruction you need to break through, we have to be given to you in your heart. You don't need a vision and you don't need a dream. But you know, some people dream more than others. Do you get me? Don't envy them. It's just their gift. Are you with me? But you don't need a dream to hear from God. The Spirit speaks to you in your conscience. It's simple. You just say, go or don't go. Yeah? Call somebody. He will tell you who to call. You're there, you're just doing praying. You open your eyes to something you didn't see before. And that is your Rhema that will give you a breakthrough. Hallelujah. The Spirit knows the mind of God. And he reveals to us the things that God has prepared for us. That means that without the Spirit, I cannot enter the things that God has prepared for me. For example, I give an example. God has prepared for me, and he said he wants me to pastor a church. That was written from the foundations of the world. Or let me just say, from when I was born. Or let me just say, from when I got born again. If you can, whatever you can relate with. But here, I'm in my job at university. A senior research fellow, working towards professorship. Huh? Now, in my mind, that's good. Yes, Sativa, is that not good? That's good. So if I just follow my mind, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm doing my best in church, I will never be able to understand that God has something better for me. If I ask my friends at uni, they will say, oh, that's what you mean. Nobody has ever done this. Somebody told me that. Since all the times they've been in this center, you've heard people moving from the research center to industry. Greater job, but nobody has ever, in all their years, said they are leaving job to go and pass their church. Amen. In their mind, I'm stupid. Hallelujah. But time will tell, or time is telling. The Spirit causes your life to advance in the right direction. Amen. You have two job offers. One may look better than the other in the physical. But the Spirit can tell you that is not the right job. You will never know it otherwise. That's why I tell people, I said, when you're in trouble, don't start calling about. You can hear, people can tell you what you want to hear. You can call 5 friends. Well, if they are spiritual, I'm going to say, if you're in trouble, make sure the people you are calling are spiritual people. You know a spiritual person? Somebody who loves God and spends time with God. If you call people that are carnal, they will give you carnal advice. You may get a vote and all the 5 people you spoke to said, yes, that doesn't mean it's God. You just did democracy. Hallelujah. You pray and you reach out and you wait. He will tell you. That, and when he tells you, that is Rema. If you follow it through, you will enter a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I need to round up in 5 minutes. So question. Question now. Is this Rema is so important for my life. Imagine if I'm getting Rema every day. I'm a superstar. I am. Hallelujah. One Rema may come to you and say, go to Sister Pinky's house. Maybe Sister Pinky was just praying to God that morning that God, the way I am now, I just need a man of God to come and say something to me. You know, and you will never know, but except by the Spirit, isn't it? You go there, a life has been touched, a life has been blessed. How can you get Rema? Question. Yes?
Who would like to go for it? Yes? I'm ready.
How can you get Rema? How can you obtain Rema? You have the Logos. Logos is not the problem. We have the Bible. It's always there. Praise the Lord. You can read it every day. But how can you get the spoken word that it speaks to your heart? Or, let me say this way, how can you increase Rema? Well, of course, I'm already telling you that the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you are born again, say, because I'm born again, the Holy Spirit lives in me. See, if the Holy Spirit didn't live in you, you are not born again. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. The day you accepted Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit that came in and gave you a new heart. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. So in that sense, you have the access to the Holy Spirit. How can you obtain or how can you increase Rema in your life?
Yes.
Through your spirit. Through your spirit and spending quiet time with God and listening to his voice.
Okay. Through your spirit
and spending quiet time with God and listening to his word. Yes. How can you get Rema or how can you increase Rema? I saw your hand.
Yeah, I was going to say something by meditating on the word of God. If we look at our Bible, we say that Adam spent time with God, or God came down in the evening to have fellowship with Adam. And if we spend time, make ourselves available, God can have time to fellowship with us. Amen. And may reveal his plans for us.
Amen. Yes, I like that. I think it's very simple.
You know, Rema is the word of God spoken. So if I want to hear God speak, I need to do what? Spend time with God. It's simple, isn't it? If I want to hear God speak, I need to spend time with God.
I think you can get Rema or increase Rema by pushing the limitations, whatever it is that's trying to limit you in your mind, and applying faith. Say, for example, if you... I've heard cases where people say, I need God to provide me with a glass of milk. And God is saying, do you really want a glass of milk, or you want a cow that produces the milk itself tied to your backyard so you can milk it anytime? So I think you can increase Rema or push by pushing the limitation.
Amen. Okay. Sorry, I forgot my darling wife. So there you go.
How can you get Rema or increase Rema? I saw your hand before. Yeah?
No, I didn't.
Did I not? Fine. Oh, it was Sean.
No, it's
all
okay.
Right, sorry.
No, it's okay. It just came to mind just now about, you know, the scripture that talks about milk and meat. What just dropped in my spirit is training. Allow yourself to be trained. And the scripture I will share is Hebrews 5:14, which says that solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between the right and wrong.
You know, I can straightforward tell you that training is a function of obedience. Nobody ever got trained if they didn't know how to obey. Imagine somebody went to army school, but they are very rebellious. They don't take any instruction. Would they ever be trained? No, be chucked out. Yes, let's take one more answer and then begin to round up.
Yeah, I was just about to say similar to what you just said, Pastor. I was just about to say increase rhema by obedience. The more you obey, the more you hear. Amen. So,
I want you to understand that if you are here today and you've been a Christian for some time, but you know that you don't hear from God much, we can diagnose the problem. Two issues. Is it that you don't spend time with God? Or you've never obeyed the things, the specific things, or even the general he told you to do. Amen. He God has told you to do some things, you didn't do it. Every time he tells you to do something, you didn't do it. Your hearing will go hard or dull. Are you with me? Yeah? Obedience increases your sensitivity to hearing. Hallelujah. Disobedience hardens your sensitivity. It's not God who doesn't want to speak to you. It's you that you're not ready to hear because you've decided that you know better. Yeah? The problem is that your brain is limited. All the smartness you have, there's a limit. It can give you some things. Dion, I never said your smart brain cannot deliver some results. It can. Yeah? But it cannot deliver supernatural results. So all you are stuck is what? With the natural. And when you now reach natural limitation that you can do nothing about, what will you do? And because you've not trained yourself, how will you fix it? Amen? So in summarizing the points you made, two things you need to operate in rhema or to increase rhema in your life. You need communion. And you need obedience. Jesus says, I need communion, which means spending time with God. And I need obedience. Say obedience. Which means doing what he has told me to do. Maybe you never heard from God. One day, the Holy Spirit just tell you something. If you don't obey, you're already back to square one. Hallelujah. Okay. Open, last place to open today, John 15. John 15 verse 5 to 8. So last place to open as we begin to round up there. John 15 verse 5 to 8. I want to be hearing more from God directly. Yeah. In addition to, you know, what I hear in the Bible. How can I? We need communion and we need obedience. John 15, 5 to 8. Yes, someone has not read today. Atobi, are you there? John 15, verse 5 to 8. Yes, please follow. That's the last place to open.
I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
See that? I want you to understand that fruit bearing is advancement. Fruit bearing means anytime you are able to do God's will, you are bearing fruit. Anytime you are able to reproduce the works of Jesus, you are what? You are bearing fruit. Anytime you can deliver something supernatural, you are bearing what? Fruit. And he says, the key is abide in me. Yeah? Continue.
For without me, ye can do nothing.
Nothing. And I can say, I can add to that, nothing supernatural. Without him, you can only do what your brain can do, yeah? But nothing of eternal value. Continue.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned.
Okay, let me just explain that. If you are not abiding in him, you are left to natural results. Yeah? You'll be dominated by natural limitations. You'll be subject to oppression and depression. Yeah? You are useless to the kingdom because you're not connected. Now, when you're in that state, you may even start blaming God that he has no control for you. But it's because you are not abiding in him. You begin to lose value. That's wither. Something is losing life when it withers. Yeah, continue.
If ye abide in me.
Now, this is the key one. I want to get it. If ye abide in me, yes.
And my words.
That's what there is rhema. That's what it is in Greek. If you abide in me and my rhema, that is, you are receiving my instructions. You are receiving my spoken word because we have this active relationship. Yes?
Ye shall ask what ye will.
You will ask what you want.
and it shall be done unto you.
Amen. Let me just stop there. So someone read that scripture and say, I read it. I read the Bible. Every day I read the Bible in the morning. I'm saying something to someone here. Yeah? And I love Jesus. I go to church. But I've asked what I wanted. It was not done. The Bible is not true. No, that's what I'm saying. If you abide in me, and my rhema. The rhema will abide in you because you are abiding in him. Amen? So that rhema itself is an instruction. Anything you ask in line with that instruction will be done. Because it's God's perfect will. Amen? I need to summarize there because of time. So, quick summary. Communion is in three dimensions. Communion is in what? How many dimensions? You know why? Because God is three in one. You need to commune with the Father. We call that prayer. But that's all some people ever do. Yeah? They pray. And if nothing comes, we say, well, you know, I prayed. God didn't answer my prayer. You need to commune with the Word. The Word is Jesus, yeah? But this is the representation. You know, like Jesus is not here, yeah? This is the representation of Jesus. Jesus is the Logos. Is the revelation, is the revealed revelation, or is the full revelation of God. Is the Logos. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Logos. You need to commune with the Logos. Yeah? We call that meditation. We call communion with the Logos what? Meditation. How do you meditate? There's a simple word I want you to master for meditation. It's called repetition. Let me tell you something. Now, by your natural personality, you may not like to repeat things, but you are never going to be a good meditator if you don't know how to repeat things. We repeat things all the time. How many times have you repeated the meals you yet? How many times have you gone taking the same trip to your workplace? How many times have you slept on the same bed? How many times have you picked up the same phone? Hallelujah. Meditation means you must be ready to read it again. You must be ready to hear it again. That's why I tell you, I'm challenging you all in this church. You don't go back to listen to messages. There are about almost 90 messages on our website preached in this church on different topics. You don't go back to listen. You are not meditating. I'm sorry. The first time you hear something is not the key to producing rhema. When you hear it again, you will pick up things you missed. Rhema will just come. Amen? And one more thing. Meditation also means you need to be ready to say it again. Something is oppressing your body now. You say, I'm healed. Yeah? You say, I said it once. No. Say it again. Like grandma was saying, you know, someone hurt you and you're forgiving them, but you're still feeling the pain. Say it! Say, I forgive this person. No, in fact, I won't say, I have forgiven this person in the name of the... I'm going before the court of heaven and declaring it as legal. Hallelujah. We need to commune the word. It's called meditation. Through that process, rhema, we come. Amen? And finally, we need to commune with the Spirit. Amen? He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? The communion of the Holy Spirit. There's such a thing as the communion of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain it. There's a reason why God put the Holy Spirit in you. Have you ever found that reason? Why did God put the Holy Spirit in you? Anybody help me? Why? Why do you think God did not put the Holy Spirit in heaven? He put it inside you.
So I can communicate with you.
So that you can have a conversation. The Holy Spirit is in you for the purpose of what? I'm feeling down. Have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. But you will not do that if you don't even believe it's in you, yeah? If you want, the key to conversation is ask and tell. Somebody say ask and tell. Tell him how you feel. Tell him. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm not feeling okay right now. Tell him who stole your song. Tell him what happened. Cry. Talk to him. If you talk to him, you will hear from him. It's in your conscience. It's still small voice. When you're at the crossroads, yeah, you don't know whether to go left or right, ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, should I go left? Or should I go right? Well, one thing about conversation with the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is gentle. Say, he's gentle like a dove. I've noticed he's never in a hurry. Do you know why the Holy Spirit is never in a hurry? He knows everything. What he thought may kill you now, he knows it will not kill you. So he's not in a hurry. So when you have a conversation with the Holy Spirit, wait. Don't take any further step. Do other things, but wait until he tells you what to do. Let's stop there. Let's rise up.